All right, welcome to Midnight Madness 2017. This is session one, comparing and sharing with Cindy Morgan, Joe Rogers, and Ron Zimmerman.
Okay, this is called a compare and share. So tonight we want to speak about certain things that you have on your outline. And then at the end of each part of it, we would like for you to feed some ideas back too so that we can share what we do in our rooms. So we're going to start with the connection. You have that on your outline. And in connection, we want to see what tone we set when we first start the year with our children and as we start each class. I want to read you a scripture. It's Romans 12:11 that says, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." In every class and every week, we want to keep our zeal. Our zeal is our passion. And God has given us this wonderful spiritual gift of teaching. And so by using our spiritual zeal, our gift, it shows when we are interacting with the kids as they come in. It shows in our classroom time that we have that passion to teach, that zeal. We want to be sure, too, with our class at the beginning of the year and every single Sunday that follows, that we present the gospel. And that's an easy thing for us to do in our lesson plans, because if you've looked at the lesson plans every single week, we have in there the little Christ connection. And in that Christ connection, it brings, even when we're talking in the Old Testament days, we bring our Christ connection in so that we present the gospel every single week. The next part of our outline is called connecting with kids and families. And I want to present to you a paper that you have in front of you called the Bill of Rights for Children. This Bill of Rights says that every child should be known by name, ministered to by need, missed when absent, nurtured in love, and experience the word through life-changing Bible study. And some of the ways that we can do this, we all probably have different ideas, and this is where we want feedback at the end of this. At the beginning of every year in my class, I like to take a picture of every child that comes in. We take a little snapshot on the phone, or I bring my camera or whatever. And I take those pictures and put them in an index size, put them all on one sheet with their name under it. It's the fastest way for my teachers and me to be able to learn the names of the kids really quickly, so that you can call them by name. They need to be known by name as quickly as we can get it down. And then throughout the year, they grow closer with us in relationship because we have nurtured them and known them by name. Ministered to by needs. I think that's self-explanatory that, you know, these kids come in, and we've had several that have come in. They're hungry. So we minister to that need on Sunday. We feed them in our classroom. You guys have anything to say about one of the Bill of Rights? Anything on the Bill of Rights? Oh, okay, here, right here. Missed when absent, of course. We send cards for that or call on the phone. Those are some of the things that we do. Nurtured in love is easy. We just got through listening to our speaker out here talk about those wonderful hugs. You know, when a kid walks in on Sunday and they're nurtured in love, when they get a big hug as they come through the door. And then, of course, experiencing our Bible study time in life Bible study.
I'd like to say a word regarding nurtured in love. And the tone that's set through that. The speaker talked about hugs. Well, it's not always going to be a hug, but there are wonderful, wonderful options to a hug. We teach third graders. So when that younger third grader comes in that first Sunday or two, they're little. I mean, the others that just promoted, they were taller. Makes sense. Well, to be able to, let's say the parents walk in with the child, and they're at the door. And I've had what we usually do in our room, we either have them come in along the wall. First thing I always say is hit the wall or go to the wall to not be part of the congestion in the hallway. Well, early in the year and throughout the year, to be able to, if it's a guest or if it's a frequent attender every Sunday, to be able to, if it's a smaller child, shorter child, if I choose to take a knee, I think that's setting the tone. And one thing that I try to do, I'm sure there are times I fail at it, but if the parents come in, and even if the dad has his hand out or the mom has her hand out to shake hands. Excuse me. I'll make direct eye contact. It's not that I'm ignoring the parents, but I want that child to see that child was the first one that I went to. And apart from that, on tone, I think the tone really gets back to the prayer, the preparation, and the planning that we did during the week leading up to that Sunday. It's not that it's too late to change my outlook or my attitude or my joy that the kids see in me, but that I want them to see. But I think if I pray toward that Sunday as much for God, would you please equip us? Would you please, go before us so that when that child comes to the door, they are not only are they eager to, and yes, we call them by name, but maybe just a little short snippet, like what was it last week on, or is it this week's lesson on buried, where they buried the
Aiken this week.
So to be able just to say those two or three quick words, hey, you may just think you know what it's like to bury something. Wait till you hear this, what we're going to be looking at today in God's Word. So those are just some of the components.
Okay.
Yeah, y'all covered what I was going to say. But basically just greeting the kids by name as they come in, and that's what I try to do each and every week is greet mm-hmm. every kid that comes in to the classroom, because I'm also responsible for handing out the newsletter that we have and whatever early activity goes along with the what we do is an early activity when they first come in, something to give them until we can get organized, because we're in the second hour, so it takes a little time to get everything out that we need to use. And so
right.
we spend a little time. Usually it's like a word search or something like that, biblical related, of course. But basically, the important thing is to greet the kids as they come in, mm-hmm. and by name as you can. Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the things that Kim wanted us to talk about the most tonight was communicating with our parents. Communication is so important. And we wrote down a few of the things that we use, and you may have other ideas that you can feed back to us, but some of the things we use for outreach for our communication are email, phone, of course. We've used phone for years, snail mail, we've used that for years. Email is the newest. Home visits, before and after LBS greeting at the door, open house. We've talked about that. Well, I don't think we do that much anymore, but open house would be a good idea. We like that. Parties. I don't know if any of you have parties in your classroom, but about once a year we have a pizza party. So it brings parents in. Sometimes they'll bring the pizza, or sometimes we order the pizza and they'll come in. We also thought about Men's Serve. One of the groups in our church that helps with the widows and sometimes the families that are in need as well, it's wonderful that they can also feel that communication to us, and that helps us to understand more with what's going on with children when they can feed back to us. We've had that experience this year. And then our Family Connect sheets that go home on Sunday if you use those. But under this heading, my favorite is using email. And I set it up at the beginning of the year, and I know we've all been taught or told about Arena, which is our church email that we can use. But I had difficulty getting in with that. So what we did, I, at the beginning of the year, got everyone's email. And some of the emails I did get off of Arena, and the other ones I got at the door from parents as they came. And then I set it up on my own Gmail for every Monday. As soon as we finish our class on Sunday, I go home and on Monday morning, I reiterate the lesson that we've had the day before. I go over the missions and what we did in the mission study. I've talked a lot this year with the parents through email about our prayer warriors, because we've been building little prayer warriors even in first grade. And so I've let the parents know that we start out, with teaching them to pray. And so that's primarily the way I communicate with my parents. Now, we have sent letters and cards when the kids are out and things like that, but it's been an effective communication for me, and I've been able to get a lot of feedback. I get feedback that says just thank you because you're teaching my child, but then I've also had feedback from a parent who's going through a divorce, and she said my children, she had twins, and she said they had not been here for a while because it's not been easy for us to come back to church yet. And when they did come back, then we were aware of how hurt the kids were and what to do and how to help them. So that is my primary way, and it's worked for me. I know it's not as easy for some people to use a computer more than others. But no matter what way we use, one of the things Kim really wanted us to go over was communicating, because we have parents who need to also hear what the stories are, because they're still learning along with their kids. We might have a parent who's a new Christian, and through just communicating with them, we're helping them learn as much as the child is learning. So communicating is important for us to do, and we can't let that slide. That's not something we want to let go. We need to talk with our parents and then communicate as much as we can. Our fourth, y'all want to say anything?
Quick comment. I'm sitting in the middle, the two on my right, Steve and Ron. They do newsletters, right, by email.
Mm-hmm. Well, mine's
I do not. I'd love to tell you that I do. But what I do try to do is a lot of email, but I've tried to begin getting the okay from the parents to use text. I don't abuse that. I don't in any way take advantage of that. But that really has made a difference. But the immediacy of the response when I do send a text, and no parent has felt like, you know, gee, that was an emergency, or why did you do? They've welcomed it. Also, I think varying the touches that we have with parents. I never want to send an email and then have them think that's all the communications are going to be is email. Mm-hmm. I love to be able to, I don't make copious notes, but I try to make a note that last contact was email. Next contact is phone call. Next contact is a text. I just don't want to go back to that one well all the time. Just a thought.
Mm-hmm. And greeting at the doors, yeah.
Can help us with, too. There may be other ways that, right? Oh, and by the way, the home visits. The home visit, to me, is all staged by the tone we set. It's all circular. It all loops. But if it turns out that we can't see them after church, or if we can't have an open house,
mm-hmm.
Maybe we can do what the choir does. I think my wife's in choir, so I'm pretty sure that they still do this. But they group birthday months where they'll have a dinner once a year, maybe more often than that. But maybe it's a starting point. Maybe see if you can get three or four families that maybe are the early letters of the alphabet and invite them after church. Doesn't become a big deal, whether it's pizza or bringing up hot dogs or soft tacos or something like that. But I've seen it happen over and over again, that the better connection, the more, not so much the more frequent of the phone calls or text or emails, but when they feel like we make eye contact, they, as you said, Cindy, so well, that we're keeping them up to speed on what the child's doing, they are then open to a home visit. If I just call them out of the blue, having not seen them or communicated with them 2 months later, I think the chances of us getting a home visit are pretty slim.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've been tasked with watching the clock because we want to cover the four topics equally as we can. So we run out of time on the first one. So does anybody have any questions or comments about connection?
Our quiet class.
So we're all good on that then.
Okay.
All right. Let's move to the next.
So let's go on to prayer.
Does everybody have a sheet that's Lord teach us to pray? Oh, you know what?
Hand motions.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
There they are.
There they go.
If you would, with us, let's stand for just a moment. We're going to do that. How many of you have not seen that sheet? Okay. We're not
really?
Going. We're not going back and just doing something out of the past just to resurrect it. But I think again, this is a big part of my planning and prep what's the first one? Prayer. But let's do it together. Start out with what's the first one? Lord. So L. Left shoulder.
Lord.
Down to the pocket. Left shoulder down to the pocket.
Lord.
And then the next one, so that's Lord. So teach.
Teach.
There's two things. It's fingertips on the temple, and then all 10 fingers out toward the child. And then us, which is When you see the picture, it looks like their fingers are together. I try to make as much of a U as I can. And that's more at chest level, where you just do it in a rotating motion, left side to right side. And then pray. And it's hands together, but it's in a rotating motion. So let's try that. Start with the L, Lord, teach two things, us to pray. You want to do it one more time? Okay. Lord, teach two things, us to pray. And may that be our effort and our striving, more than just doing it during the live Bible study hour, but before we come in, that we need to talk about setting our tone for our prayer walk too. So.
Well, we talked also about the different levels are different, of course. For our first graders, we're teaching our first graders to pray, and we start with, of course, showing them how we pray, and then we slowly but surely help them. We'll voice the words, and they'll voice the prayer, and then we teach them, and by 6 or 8 weeks into the year, then we let it go, and they can pray for themselves. And I wish I had put it on the screens tonight, but Miss Betty had a pacemaker placed this last fall, and the day before she was to go in, we had our first graders pray over her, and they put their hands on her shoulders, and they prayed the sweetest prayers, and they did not express them like we would in any way, but it was so sweet because they said, "Dear," one of the little boys said, "Dear Lord, please help the doctor place that thing where it goes in Miss Betty." You know, it was so precious, but God knew. And so that is a really important thing, is to get the little ones even to pray on their own. And we still one, that same little boy still comes in every week. She told me tonight, last Sunday, still walked in and said, "I'm praying for you, Miss Betty." You know, it's just sweet when we can start it that young. And then, of course, as they get older, they'll do that. Okay, so Ron, did you want to address the Kids on Mission and IMB?
Yeah, one of the things that we do each week after we have a missionary video that we watch 4 or 5 minutes to tell us about the mission focus for the week. What I do is each week I get from the IMB, I get an email that says Kids on Mission, and it's the prayer request from the missionary kids that are out there serving in the world. And I read those to the class, and we pray over them each week. For them. The other thing I wanted to mention was we also, one of the things that I do once or twice a year is I make these, what I call them an RA. I used to be an RA leader, and we make these, I call them RA gliders. But one of the things that you can do if you want to focus on missions for a week is you can look up the missionaries who have birthdays coming up, and you get the kids to make these in class, and you put the date in the front, the missionary in the back, where they're serving, and you have the kids make them up. And then take them home and say, okay, on Tuesday, you're supposed to pray for this missionary. But the gliders are pretty cool. They work. But that's one of the things that I do once or twice a year. But you can do this with any craft that you make that's like that. You can put if you want to focus on missions for that week, you can put the missionary's name and their date on whatever you make and remind the kids to, you know, okay, on Wednesday, you're supposed to pray for this missionary. And you can look up, or you can Google it. I looked it up, IMB missionary birthdays and WMU female.
Okay.
So you can find out the missionary birthdays pretty easily.
May I share one thought about, the three of us have talked about this in the last several weeks, about we can label something or a topic under Connect or prayer or classroom management or reflect and refresh, but they kind of jump back and forth from one category to the other. They fit. They tie together. And we're talking about connecting with parents. The more we do that, when that child has something going on at school that's a struggle, when that child tells us in class, I've got this going on at home, there's not only less reluctance, there is absolute welcoming. If I ask the parents by email then, if I found out about it, let's say on that Sunday, I'll send an email and just say, would you stop by? And they may not be parents that stop by and get their child. It may be that normally they, you know, the kids are in the transition room, but I'll say an email, would you please stop by so we may just pray for a few minutes after church. It's amazing how many parents and their child will do that. And I think, again, it's setting the stage to kind of break down the barriers where that it's not an issue. You've already established a friendship, a relationship.
Yeah, one of the things I'd like to mention is that the beginning of the year, after we pray for the missionaries, I always ask the kids, do you have any prayer requests or praises? And at the very beginning of the year, very few of them will respond. But as the year goes by, you'll find that more and more of them will open up, and they will share some of the concerns they have. And I think it's kind of neat because it only takes one or two to get it started, but the rest of them will start having those prayer requests. So by the end of the year, you have a bunch mm-hmm. that you're praying for.
We also talked about the map that in the mission story, we always connect where we are with where the missionary we're praying for and where they are in the world. And so that is a good visual with prayer as well.
To see those children sometimes too, just with their, listen, what was the one a week or two ago in Egypt? Was it last week?
Yes.
But having hands together or one over the other on the country of Egypt or knowing the missionary by name, but visual, palpable, I mean, everything about that is wonderful to see children as young as yours, first mm-hmm. grade, right?
Mm-hmm.
And on up to fourth. So.
Okay, well, maybe we can gain a few minutes here. Anybody have anything else they want to feedback about prayer?
Randomly, and sometimes not that frequently, but and this is going to get into the next session,
mm-hmm.
Because we want, even the Lord teach us to pray, although that is a constant. I mean, we could do that every Sunday, but we try to look at the lesson, and if it seems like it's really a logical thing to do, then we do it. Or it may be that the small group teachers, Dave and Julie, they may do it, but I won't lead it in large group. So, I mean, there's a lot of flexibility and a lot of discretion. I mean, it's just a matter of, you know, what makes the most sense, but related to the lesson that Sunday.
Anything else? Okay, then let's move on to classroom management, because this is going to be the longer one. In classroom management, we wanted to cover quite a few things, one of which was setting expectations. At the beginning of the year, when the class first comes in, setting the expectations you have for them in behavior and how you expect them to be. Some people, their kids sit on the floor on Sunday. Other people have their kids sit in the chairs. But to set the expectations that you have for that group time, you know, it's my talking time. It's time for you to sit quietly, those sort of things. And let them know what your expectations are, because that helps with the discipline of the classroom. And then motivate them. Just motivate, motivate, motivate. Whatever you have to use for motivation to tell them how far you're going to take them that year. I want you to learn the books of the Bible in first grade. I want you to know all 66 books. We're going to start with the Old Testament. We're going to work our way through to get to the New Testament. I want to take you that far in first grade. I want you to know them by the end of the year. And set that expectation in front of them. It doesn't have to be a lot. That one expectation is my biggest in my first grade class, is what I like to get them to accomplish. And I reward them. I don't know if y'all know what beanie boos are, but we get a beanie boo if we learn all of the Old and New Testament. So give them some motivation, some reason. And they do. They come in, don't they? They're in my class. They come in wanting to work on it. And if they don't get help at home, then when they come to me and they say, I want to learn those right there, I just want to learn those five books in the Old Testament of poetry, I'll just send them over to one of the teachers and say, well, see if Mr. Morgan can work with you for 5 minutes. Just 5 minutes. It just take that long and they can learn them. It just takes that little bit of time. But setting that expectation for them so they can start working on it, it gives them a goal to work toward and then motivate them in some way to do it. Doesn't have to be a physical reward. It could be, you know, we have a party together or we do something else together. But that's how I like to do it in my class. And that's because it's younger children, too. Older children respond differently. I think Ron gives a different kind of reward.
Yeah, if they, same deal, books of the Bible, I think it's very important that they know where they are in the Bible. And I give them a reward, a king-size candy of whatever their choice. And, you know, like a king-size Kit Kat or whatever they want. If they can say the books of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, they get it. I'll go get it for them. So same deal. It's a reward for an accomplishment.
I try to keep the kids guessing. We don't routinely give motivations like that. And I love that. But I think in a way there's a little bit of expectation of, or curiosity of, you know, well, what are they going to bring today? And it's been kind of nice that we don't, that they're not expecting something every Sunday. Just a different viewpoint. Mm-hmm. I will say regarding verses and things like that, to me, the challenge factor, to be able to give them a challenge, even if it's in the last 30 seconds of class, some takeaway. And hopefully I've been, and Dave's been, and Julie's been a good listener and attentive and observing, where we kind of know this would be a good scripture, or this would be a good, may not even be a scripture. It may be that we task the child that week, and we will do a little incentive. I don't want to make it sound like an ogre about it, but we'll say, we want to hear a victory that you had when you come back next Sunday from sharing that verse with a friend. Or it may be a verse that we didn't even have on our lesson or lesson plan. And Cindy has mentioned this, I believe Ron did too. We need to plan and have with us more than we're actually going to use. And maybe to have those extra verses. And that way we're already poised to give a challenge out like that. But some Sundays, the next Sunday they'll come back and they're looking forward to what is it that I get for that. Other times they're just thrilled to be able to stand in front of the class and say that they know the verse. Mm-hmm. So you get all ranges on that.
Yeah, one of the things I like to say regarding planning the lesson, the curriculum is very good that we're using, and Kim does a very good job of preparing it for us, but there's a lot there. And you have to really pick and choose what you're going to use. Otherwise, if you try to do everything that's there, guess what? You're not going to make it unless you go really fast. And then that's defeating the whole purpose. So you really got it. You got to be careful about what you choose. But you got to make sure that you do have enough to cover the time. In fact, it's a good thing to have more than enough, just in case.
It is. And it's also something we talked about, that you don't have to use the video every single Sunday. Sometimes it's good to change up, just something different. And like last week when we did Joshua, the Battle of Jericho, the wall coming down, we marched around the room. You know, we've got little kids, and that's visual to them. And by the time we were huffing and puffing the sixth time around, I was going, oh, my goodness, the Israelites had to have a lot of breath. But, you know, that was good for them. They saw a physical way to say this, to see the story. And I had two guys dressed up in costume that came in, and they were the spies. And it was just a different way to present the story. It didn't have to be the same every single week. Sometimes when you change it, you grab them by changing.
May we take one last minute to talk about things we use mm-hmm. in the classroom? Tonight, you know, I walk away and I think, well, we need to get back to doing some things with football or basketball or Olympics or whatever it might be. But even having the simplicity of things, less is more, to be able to have the blue and white pool rope in the swimming pool. I have some from the past. We don't even have a swimming pool. I don't know where I got it. But we'll have a tug of war. But it's all based not on so much who's stronger, but that there's a moment there where we have the team that said a verse or they answered a question. They enjoy that, and we didn't have to make a big deal planning-wise for that. But I just think a lot of times that high-energy mm-hmm. activity really pays dividends.
Mm-hmm. How did any of y'all teach your Bible verse every week? We have a Bible verse. How do you do it, Terry? I've seen some of that. First graders respond to that, yeah. I know I've watched Pam Jackson. She's a first grade teacher also, and she was going to do this tonight. She's sick. She couldn't be here. But she uses hand motions with hers, and she comes up with them out of her head. I said, would you please write those down, because she is good at it. She's really, really good at it. But she just takes whatever verse it is, and she comes up with some correlation of movement, and she has hand motions every single Sunday with her Bible verse. And her kids are really responsive to that. This is first graders. They love it. But that's just another way to teach it. We were just trying to brainstorm the other night other ways to teach the Bible verse every week, that they don't get the same thing Because it, you know, sometimes it does need a change occasionally. Oh, that's right. Right. Y'all highlight it. You highlight it.
It's good.
That helps too. Mm-hmm.
Should we say something about music?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what your inclination is to use music, but from the work I've done for so many years, I travel a lot, more driving than anything else. But I do listen to SBJ and KHCB a lot, and I had an attraction to not just the group at all or the even sometimes the titles of the song, but the lyrics of the song. I try to listen to a song, and I'll write down the key words, and then I'll try to match those words to the lesson for that Sunday. One that works all year long is, for example, by Casting Crowns, O Glorious Day, because it tells the gospel story, and that's what everything is framed around that. I know you all know the words to that, but living, this is just the chorus. But living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, O glorious day. So that's one that we can get a lot of use out of. But there are so many other things. Life song. May my life song sing to you. Great song. And I encourage, if those are not already songs that are as familiar, take a look at that. I think you'll be amazed how many nuggets you can pull out word-wise and use them. And you know what? With so many kids that go to live Bible study here that are in High Five, mm-hmm. they know the songs already. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how many lyrics that they know to these songs. Mm-hmm. You do more traditional.
I do yeah, some true. Older songs yeah. that really work with first graders because some of the lyrics are too difficult for them. But it varies, and I know we have music on our CD that we get with the lesson on it, but not always. That doesn't always work when they don't have it repeated regularly. So you got to do songs that they really know. I always zero in with first graders for the two songs for the Old Testament books and the New Testament books, and once we learn those songs, it makes it a whole lot easier for them. I also attach those two songs to my email. I send it home to the parents. I had a little boy this year that his grandfather is a judge. And he came in one day and he said, I need those songs. I need to work with him in the car when we're in the car. I said, okay. So I sent him on the email. So I know that, you know, it varies as age level right. with music as well. But music is a key. It is a very good a way for us to reach the kids.
And it's important, the books of the Bible song, mm-hmm. because when you get to the fourth grade and I say, do you know the books of the Bible?
They sing
it to me.
Yay, they get it. Good. Okay, well, we're going to have to kind of go through the next part of this really quickly here in this same category. But one of the things we use a lot, and I know you do too, is the use of review games. We use all kinds of games, you know, that we've made up. Or I want to make y'all aware in that resource room, we have a ton of resources. You could just about make any game there is out there, Jeopardy, and use it with the different categories. There's a die cut of a... It looks like a little satchel, a little case of some sort. Deal or No Deal comes right out of that. It's perfect for Deal or No Deal. We've got a Wheel of Fortune. We call it the Bible Wheel Board that we use. And just buy two little $1.97 horns at Walmart and put them on a board. And there you got your friendly feud, not family feud, but friendly feud. And you can use all sorts of little ways to get the kids to play a game at the end for review. And I know y'all have a lot of games like that as well, but you know how they react to that. They love these things in here when they come into worship, and there's always some high level of game or activity going on, and so that's a good way for them to review, to be able to know that they got it when you're through with the lesson.
Yeah, one of the ones I use is the Minute to Win It games.
The kids love that.
Yeah. It doesn't take much to set them up, and you can find out, also Google them, you can find out all kinds of games you can play with them. It's very simple to set up. And usually we have three tables, so you know, one from each table. We'll compete against each other if they can answer a question about the lesson. So
that's fun. Next topic is respect for God's house. Our church is blessed. We are church first, but we are also blessed with a school. And a lot of our kids are FBA kids. And so they tend to think sometimes in terms of it being a school, and they don't always respect God's house. And one of the things that I try to teach my first graders when I've seen them in the worship center with their feet up on the chairs in front of them is that this is God's house. It is a place of worship. And I want to be sure that we included that a little bit tonight so that we kind of go across the board with that up to the oldest kids who, you know, we all need to prepare and tell them, you know, this is not just a school. This is where we worship God, and we should treat it as God's house and have respect. So, y'all have anything?
May we take just a minute, because you mentioned expectations earlier, and that's
ties in with the expectations.
Just in almost like a speed round here, if you have a thought on, or just shout out one expectation that you have for the kid that you share with the kids verbally, and you probably repeat it a lot in those early weeks.
Just like this, like respect whatever.
But any expectation that you know is...
Come on, guys. Yeah. Come on, guys. Come on.
One expectation I have is that they treat their Bible reverently.
Wonderful.
I have seen them throw the Bible on the ground.
Right.
And I will tell them, that's God's book. You shouldn't do that. Please pick it up and treat it nicely.
Good. That works all year long, doesn't it?
Anybody else?
What about, I'm sorry?
Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes,
no, manners.
Okay.
Manners. Respect for teachers.
What about kids that want to say something at the same time or talk at the same time? Do you do an expectation for that? A kind of a guideline of one person at a time speaks, whether it's the child or the adult. What are some others?
Okay, well, I'm going to pop up with this one. Listening time versus talking time, because this is a biggie for first graders. When they come in, we have a good time at the table. It is a relationship-building time when they are in small group. They are building relationship with the teacher at that table. It's their time to talk. What's happened in your week? You know, what's happening in your life? How's your family? Do you have a pet? What's your favorite color? It's relationship-building time at that table. And so that's their time to talk. Snack time. We have snacks every week, so snack time, that's time to talk. But when they come to large group, guess whose time to talk it is? It's Miss Morgan's time to talk. So that's one of the things I throw out with mine is my expectation. I expect them to have a great time in small group, get the talking out, but when they come to large group, I want them to be there to listen. I want them to hear the story and the lesson for the day.
Neil Jeffries tonight said something at the very end, I believe. I think this is exactly it, of we can do better, we can be better. Well, it's an indictment against me, self-indicted, that when we're having a disruptive situation, I will walk over by the child, and typically then they'll stop doing what they were doing. But I'll just look and I'll say, you know what, you can do better in God's house than that. But you know, now it may well be that I need to even say, you know, we can all do better. It's not just them, it's me. This is what kind of loops this, the planning I do. Maybe I let something get out of control. So just the fact that, and maybe that, did we already talk about the review part?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maybe that's that review and that critique of did we allow some things to be more of a problem than they should have been?
Anyway. Anybody else use 1, 2, 3 eyes on me? Anybody else use that? Okay, here's a good one. I got this out of afternoon daycare at school and at VBS as well. 1, 2, 3, eyes on me. And the minute I say it, the kids turn around with 1, 2, eyes on you.
Mm-hmm.
And once I get it, they're quiet. It's a good way. It works. It works with first graders, Terry. I'm telling you. Go ahead, Ron.
One of the things I'm going to mention about what you do in class, you know, some of the projects or games or stuff, review with your other teachers if it worked well, if it went well, or how you could change it to make it better, things like that. Anything you do in class should be critiqued,
mm-hmm.
and you know, to find out if it's better. And one of the things we talked about the other night when we were talking about this session tonight was if you're doing something that they really enjoy doing, quit before they get tired of it, so that you can use it another time.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember the exact quote, but it's something like, you can never say or teach more than maybe a subject allows or deserves, but something like, but you always want there to be another opportunity beyond the focal point that you had. You know, teach to that. It's kind of a less is more thing. And then if you have more time, like you mentioned earlier, that's great. But to feel like, you know, there's a great takeaway. Let's continue to build. We see the responsiveness of the kids. And
right. Okay. Any input on any of that? Anybody have anything? Okay, we're going to move to our last topic, which is refresh and reflect. When I was, this last summer, I was praying one day, and I prayed that God would give me some words that would help me in my leadership role here at church. And I just prayed and prayed that I would get words back. And I sat there and finally heard him say, there's four things that you need to remember when you're teaching. And you have this gift, so use them. Joy, passion, vision, and leadership. Joy, that every single Sunday we come to this church, children should see us full of joy. I heard him say tonight, you know, you got to have joy in all situations, the good ones, the bad ones. You need the joy, and you need to show it because you know God's in control. So joy in every situation, every Sunday, they need to see that joy, the love of Jesus in your heart. The second one, passion. The passion that we have for teaching, it came out of that Bible verse that I gave you at the beginning with zeal. Passion is zeal. We should have that passion, that drive on a Sunday in our classroom when we want to get across what we want to get across and what we need to teach in the lesson. But you can't just be dry saying it. You need to show the passion that you have for Jesus and the love of the kids and exhibit that when you're teaching. It needs to come from within. And we need to have that zeal. It's that passion that we need to show. The third one was vision. And this is kind of twofold because we need a vision for our leadership and for what we do. But we also need a vision for how far we can take our kids in a year. After the first few weeks in a classroom, I can usually tell if my kids are going to be a class that is going to respond to a lot of things, and we can just go as far as we could possibly go. And then other years, we'll have a class that might not gel so well, or we have overloaded boys or overloaded girls, and we'll say, well, this class is not going to go quite so far, but we're going to still stretch them as far as we can. It's that vision you have for what can I do with this class? How far can I take them? I want to get them as far as possible. And as like this year, our kids, I expect all of our children to know the books of the Bible when they leave my room. They might not know them verbatim perfectly, but they're going to know them. I have that kind of class, and I've got that vision already in my head that before the last day, I'm going to get there. And God has to help with that. I mean, it has to be a constant prayer of mine to help me have the vision to get them there. Help me have the vision. What can I use this week as my vision to teach it? So vision is really a strong point. And then the leadership word. The leadership is, how can I be a better leader for my teachers? If I were a teacher, how could I be a better teacher for my leader? And how can we lead our kids? We have to have some sort of goal set as leaders that we don't stop and stagnate. We want to move. We want to change. If we can't change, we do stagnate. So we need to keep change in mind. Our church is booming and growing. And the kids, we talked about this when we were talking, guys, that the kids have changed over the years. They changed and changed and changed because of the electronics. We can't sit back and teach a Bible story with a single little picture anymore, a piece of paper. We have to move on and change to reach them where they are. And so this is part of leadership. We've got to set those goals, and we've got to be willing. And I'll let you guys speak to that.
I thought the other night in our planning session that Brother John years ago used to say, in a way you could kind of take what he said, that he wasn't real expectant that this congregation was going to do what he asked the congregation to do. But he said, I question whether a lot of you are willing, but I challenge you to be willing to be willing. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that's the first step. If that's what it takes for us to step out of, I'd say comfort zone, but
right.
doing an activity that's work, but we, kind of to your point, we use it too long. Then there's a sense of boredom or dismissiveness. I want to quickly mention on, do we need to go to the word reflect? Because that was our,
refresh.
Mm-hmm. Ron, any other thoughts before we go to refresh?
No, go ahead.
Okay. How do you refresh after, I don't know if you think of that as being revitalized, maybe just tearing off that whatever happened last week that could have been so much better. Is there a way that you get ready for the next Sunday by refreshing? It doesn't have to be necessarily the way you prepare for the lesson, but what do you think of when we say the word refresh? Or coming in refreshed on that Sunday morning? Any thoughts?
Pray it up.
Had a friend who was in the Air Force, and he told me one time, he said, Joe, he knew I was going through something, and he said, I'm going to give you air cover. Well, I hadn't been in the military, but knowing he was a pilot, I knew what air cover meant. So now, I'll tell a child that, and so I think, you know what, have I used that in a while? Have I asked that child that maybe his mom, you mentioned this earlier about a mom who had babies, twins. I've had a parent that just had twins a few months ago, and she told us our boys won't be back for a while. But then I look at it and I think, what touch have I had with that family? Have I stayed in touch with them? And then if I haven't, I could have a momentary, beat myself up. But that's a great refresher. To think, who have I not spoken to? Who have I not reached? Maybe I've made efforts. What child maybe have I not shown as much attention to? What child had been having some issues in class, and maybe I've not seen something to praise them for? And I'm not going to artificially praise them, but what things can I do to maybe celebrate with that child a bit? And maybe that's kind of what I wanted to end with on that topic, is how often do we celebrate something that the child has done? And we only know that oftentimes. They may share it with us, but it may be the parents at the door when they bring the child, or if they pick the child up rather than going to the transition room to get them, that we suddenly realize a basketball game that not that necessarily he did well, but first year he's played basketball. It could be a child that plays basketball but is having other tendencies that are not aligned with his age. He's doing things that only a little bitty child should do. So just I think, again, it's all linked back to relationship, but being able to celebrate that. And I tell you, those things will, won't they? They'll revitalize us when we finally reach somebody, or when we finally got a call back, or when we finally had a breakthrough, or when we finally they shared a victory with us, or they come in with a verse that they knew, or they answer a challenge that we encouraged them to do. So
you guys have done a good job.
So have you. Well, the last thing we talked about was how hungry, this came from Kim this week, and she said they had talked about how hungry are you as a teacher to be a better teacher and to refresh. That was what we just talked about. But how hungry are the children when they come in on a Sunday? How hungry are they? And they're the ones we're entrusted to teach. So how can you make them hungry? How do you motivate them? I want to go back next week. I want them running down the hall to get to my room. Okay, you're not supposed to run, but run. I want them to be hungry when they come. I want them to want to return. So there's got to be ways to motivate, and it's different for every age level. But you can create ways. I mean, there are a lot of different ways to get them there. But I want them to want to be back. We can use, challenges, map quests. There's going to be a secret word in the room next week. You've got to be the first one to find it. Any way that you can get them to be hungry to want to come back and get the next lesson in the Word of God. And then the last part of ours is what do I bring every Sunday? What do you bring, Joe, every Sunday, Ron? What should we bring? That is two good questions. What do you bring? What should you bring? Romans 12:11 says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. We serve the Lord with our spiritual gift of teaching. Never be lacking in zeal. What do you bring on a Sunday? What should you bring?
It is contemplative. I mean, what we may think, you know, my attitude's good. I've stayed in touch with our families. One thing that I noted that I wanted to share is that it shows you we can learn from a 2.5-year-old and our one and only grandchild. He had seen it's a little animated movie, and there are a bunch of, about 30 minutes in duration, and it's about rescue. To me, it's a Christian movie. I don't think it's labeled as such, but it's a little rescue helicopter, it's a little sheriff's car, and it's a fire truck. And the silo in the middle of town that has a horn on the end that the dispatcher speaks through, and if there's been a fire in a pasture, if there's been a car wreck, and somebody needs to be rescued, these three rescue vehicles, the sheriff's car, the fire truck, and the rescue helicopter, they all converge. The voice out the speaker says, she gives the details, and then she said, and what time is it? And all three of those rescue vehicles, animated, but you're thinking of them being real life, and they say, it's action time. And that's what my little 2.5-year-old, that's one of the only shows he and I get to watch because of time. But when I think about it's action time, it's like, how committed, how convicted, how ready, how prepped, how prayed up? But you said, what things do I do to show that it's action time? And I've not shared that with our kids. Will that resonate with them just to say action time? I think in a way it will. I think maybe it may be nothing more than when we take, in our class we do kneel a lot to pray. And getting back to the prayer warriors that we have. And to be able to pray and claim God's word over something that they've shared with us, prayer, praise, and then to be able maybe, and I haven't done it, but I'm going to do it, at the end of that prayer, maybe have them even say it with me, now it's action time. That's a takeaway. Mm-hmm. That shows that they get it. It's kind of like that aha moment. But then suddenly we're a team, aren't we? Mm-hmm. We're a team.
Yeah, I've only got one thing to say in addition. The classroom environment, when they come in, they should feel that it's welcomed. And they should feel like, you know, we welcome them by calling them by name as they come in. But it also should be a place where they enjoy being there. However you do that, it may be with games or it may be with rewards, whatever. But they want to enjoy it. You want them to enjoy it, and you want them to feel comfortable that they're there, and so that they are motivated to come back again. And hopefully they are.
And then more freely share their prayer and praise requests.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Any questions or comments from you? We're just about out of time.
You talk about wanting your kids to walk through there.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds like really nice. And I know, like, we don't want that mistake, those things. But I can honestly tell you that was the first year that using my teacher, I actually wanted to be at church. And I grew up in this church, and that year changed my life. It really did.
Thank you, Katie.
I teach fourth grade now.
Do you? Thank you.
But y'all all make a difference, and thank you for your years, because it matters, and it makes a very difference.
Thank you. I'm going to close some prayers.
I see a guy at the back. I want to comment something about. We talk about.
Is that Efren? Efren, is that here?
You know, when we talk about how important names are, the more that we learn that name at the beginning, you changed a lot, man. But you changed a whole lot. But to be able to still, I feel like I will always know you by name. I mean, you may move away, I may move away, I may be gone. But the fact is, when we use that name, boy, what a blessing we get out of that. Because we recognize the kid. We see them grow in the Lord. We see their faith walk. And, I mean, it is a blessing. And I don't get to see you very often. And I don't get to talk to you very often. But I see you and Jackson, a few others. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's talk about joy. Talk about, what did we say, getting refreshed?
Mm-hmm.
If that's not a refresher, I don't know what would be. Evan.
Yeah, Mr. Rogers was my first Bible study teacher, and I
It's not my fault. Well, it took me half a year before I quit saying Ephron, remember?
Proud of you.
Joe, you want to lead us in a closing prayer?
Sure. May we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you that we have the opportunity to, we're in the midst of our friends. We're in the midst of those that we see each week. It may just be a quick crossing in a hallway. Father, the mission, the message, the ministry that we do with children, we are truly called to do that. And yet, even though we are, there are moments where we question our capabilities, the direction that we're giving, maybe the direction we're given that we don't want to follow. It could be any of that. But Father, I pray tonight that the takeaways that each of us will have, part of it just from our speaker who did such a great job, but that little is much when God is in it. And sometimes whether we just do one thing and we build on that, that that's an ember that really does come alive. And I pray whatever it takes for us to get refreshed, whether it's the making contact with a child or the parent, how we connect, how we lift them up in prayer, how we work through issues, through prayer requests and praises, and how we celebrate them. But Father, may we take great joy in how you equip us to get through it. We're never going to feel fully equipped. But Father, you give us such a blessing to be here and do what we do and to see kids that we know and to see them grow up in stature following you. Gosh, what a blessing. Father, I thank you now that we can leave this, and it really is action time now. And whatever changes that we can make, and even if we don't change a thing, grant us a spirit of encouragement. Have us have a smile on our face that connects with the zeal that Cindy spoke of. That they truly will not care how much we know until they see how much we care. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.